Hello, funky listeners, and welcome to the first episode of Funk Radio in a long time. This is your host, Kyle.
And this is your host, Peter. This should not be confused with the first episode of Funk Radio ever, which was a very long time ago.
5 years ago, roughly.
Well, we're old.
Yes, we are.
And still no listeners.
Exactly. So, yeah, we kind of came back to do an episode because we're both kind of done with our summer hiatuses, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went to a wedding last weekend. That was fun.
I assume it wasn't your own wedding, Kyle.
No. It was someone else's, but it was fun.
That's good.
There was libations and fun had by all, and white people dancing, which white people dancing at weddings is always fun because they play like super corny music.
That's fun.
Always a good time. So, speaking of white people,
Funk Radio.
Exactly. We're going to do a little movie / soundtrack review of the movie Baby Driver. The movie was directed by Edgar Wright, who you may know from films as Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead, and End of the World or something?
Oh.
World's End.
Yeah.
The one where they go pub crawl and stuff. Baby Driver is his latest film. He's kind of an indie director, I guess. He was tapped to direct Ant-Man, the Marvel movie, but due to creative differences between him and Marvel, they canned him.
Didn't he want to do a bunch of original stuff, and they said no?
Because he's more of an indie director. He kind of had his own flair that he wanted to add to the movie, but Marvel's like, no, you have to conform to the Marvel formula.
That's too bad.
He's like, no.
He's like, fuck you guys, I'm going to go make Baby Driver.
Exactly.
Did you want to give the listeners a little synopsis. Rundown of, like, yeah, just short, like what the movie's about?
Yeah.
Why music is important to the movie?
So, the movie is about a young man played by a actor named Ansel Elgort, which is the weirdest fucking name ever. It's like Ansel Adams. Ansel Elgort, it plays a guy named Baby, who is like a getaway driver who basically drives, you know, away from robberies or whatever. And he kind of works for Kevin Spacey, who plays a bad guy like he does in all movies now. Mm. So in the movie, he always has earbuds in and listens to music because he has tinnitus. Because I guess he had an accident when he was a kid or something. Because he's constantly listening to music, the entire movie is underpinned by a sort of soundtrack of what he's listening to. So, it's a really interesting sort of action movie in the fact that, like, beginning to end almost entirely is one long soundtrack. And they filmed it even in such a way that some of the songs from the soundtrack are... I shouldn't say some of the songs, but some of the scenes from the movie are timed to the beats or notes, I guess, of the song. And it makes for a really interesting sort of composition, which I don't think I've ever seen done in a movie in this way.
Well, I've just never seen a movie where, like you said, like the entire movie, minus maybe a total of 30 seconds or so, had music playing. Mm-hmm. Just like back to back to back, and I really had not heard anything about this movie before I went into it, what it was about, or obviously this aspect of it either. So that was a really nice surprise to me.
Mm-hmm.
I actually do like that. Kind of the constant switch from song to song isn't
jarring.
It's not jarring, but it's also not strictly just like a creative choice for the benefit of the viewers. It's also like tied into the movie itself and the character.
Yeah.
Even like Baby himself, like his character isn't, you really never learn a whole lot about him, and the people in the movie probably even know even less about him than we do. He's kind of a mysterious character. So I think almost the music is in a lot of ways, like an expression of that character in ways that he himself doesn't really do.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Like the music sort of drives the evolution of his character.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason we wanted to review this film isn't just because it's underpinned entirely by music, but a lot of that music actually is a lot of soul and funk music, which I thought was kind of interesting as well, because this kid is this young kid, I think he's like 18 or 19.
This baby, if you will. Yeah.
But he listens to such a wide variety of music that it's not just all pop songs. I mean, I think there's a couple in there that I recognized as fairly popular songs.
Mm-hmm.
But, a majority of the music he listens to is, like, old stuff.
Older stuff. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good point. And there is a and it's not all, like, one genre either. It's very much a variety. But I do like that it's mostly older music.
The movie did make me feel really freaking old, though. I'm not really spoiling too much, but there's a scene where it's like a flashback of him as a little kid, and he gets his first iPod, which I think was the original iPod.
Yeah.
And he's like 5 or 6 years old, and I'm like, that thing came out when I was like 12 or 13. So he's definitely younger than me.
You should make a movie called Baby Kyle, and it's a documentary about you traveling the world trying to find a mint condition first generation iPod.
Oh, I'm sure they probably still have them on eBay or something, like wrapped and stuff.
So it's just a movie about you sitting on your computer going through eBay.
Yes, exactly. anyways, stupid aside. One thing I really liked about the movie, though, was its seeming love for musical technology in different formats. I mean, you know, he's got his iPod, which he apparently has multiple iPods. But hopefully this isn't too much of a spoiler. If it is, spoiler alert.
Let's just say now, like, if you haven't seen the movie or...
Stop listening.
Like, if you want to not have anything spoiled, just don't listen to the rest of this. Because we'll probably just say stuff, and I don't want to say spoiler every 10 seconds.
Exactly, same here. One of the things in the movie that he does as, like, a weird hobby is he is always recording conversations and recording people and things, and he, like, creates mixtapes of these and creates songs out of them using a lot of really old, weird technology.
Mm-hmm.
And he puts them onto cassette, which I also think is hilarious. So it's obvious that Edgar Wright kind of has a love for that kind of old school, but not too old school, you know, musical technology from like the, you know, 90s, maybe late 80s.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of a cool addition to add to his character.
Yeah, I actually forgot about that piece of it. It's been at least a few weeks, if not maybe a month or so, since I saw the movie.
But I saw it 2 weeks ago, so I'm a little bit more fresh. Yeah,
you saw it a little bit more recently.
A little bit fresher.
You're always a little bit fresher, Kyle.
Oh, I'm funky, fresh, and fly, and yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Tell us what other F-words Kyle is on Facebook.
I guess kind of that's a basic synopsis of the movie and things that we liked about it, but I guess since we're technically a music podcast, we should probably talk about that.
Okay.
We're
now, you found the list of songs, I don't know if it's official or not, on Spotify? There's a playlist?
Yeah, just Baby Driver soundtrack. I assume it's semi-official. It has like a cover art that looks like it would be a soundtrack. So
okay,
there's a lot of songs in this playlist because again, the entire movie is underpinned by music. We're not going to go through every song. We're just going to handpick some that we either liked or that we thought were used creatively in the movie. The one that I kind of wanted to talk about first is the second song in the movie, Harlem Shuffle. Which,
assuming these are in chronological order,
I think they are. From what I'm, from me going down the list, I think they're pretty much in chronological order.
Okay,
I know the first song in the movie is the song "Bell Bottoms" by John Spencer Blues Explosion, which is an awesome band name.
John Spencer Blues Explosion.
Have you ever had a blues explosion in your pants, Peter?
Oh, that's for a different podcast.
So yeah, the second song in the movie, that is kind of an introduction to his character, is Harlem Shuffle by, it says Earl and Bob. I don't know how accurate that is. The reason this particular song was really cool is it's shot during a, like, continuously... How do I say it? It's like a one long continuous shot of him walking.
Thing?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know if I realized that at the time.
Yeah, there it was one long continuous shot of him walking, going to get coffee, and going to, like, I don't know, his meetup place for his getaway driver robber people.
His crew.
His crew, thank you. And this song, Harlem Shuffle, is playing the entire time, and it's one of those scenes where it's probably, once assuming the movie comes out on DVD, once it does, it's good to go back and watch, because everything around him, from the, you know, I guess, crowds around him to graffiti that you see on the wall, everything is timed or referencing that song. To the point
or
that
the,
like,
line of the song, like, as he's walking past it and it says whatever it says, also says it on the wall. So actually that makes that seem even better. Like, I either forgot or just didn't realize that was, like, a continuous shot scene.
Yeah, that's what made it so insanely impressive, was it's one long shot perfectly timed to the song. Like, I don't know how that must have taken an insanely long time to orchestrate.
I love stuff like that.
Yeah, me too. It's one of those things where I definitely kind of want to go back and watch it just to catch things I missed the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, we can play a little clip of the song. I mean, it's not going to do justice to the film, I suppose. But just so you can get an idea of what it sounds like. It's very early 60s doo-wop-y.
So this scene was also the opening credits, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, I forgot about that. It's the opening credits to the movie. You see all the actors, blah, blah, blah. One thing I was really bummed about was, I forget his name in the movie, but the character that John Bernthal plays, he got, like, second or third credit in the opening credits, so I'm thinking, okay, he's going to be in the movie a lot. He was barely in it at all. And I love him as an actor. He's, for those of you that don't know, he's the guy that plays the Punisher in the Netflix Daredevil series.
What did he play in the movie?
He was one of the crew members. Remember when Baby first met up with them, and he was kind of annoyed by him because he's always listening to music, and he thought he wasn't paying attention. And he took his sunglasses, and then he had another pair of sunglasses.
Oh, okay. I think I might have mistook that character for the character that they brought in later.
John.
That was similar.
John Hamm.
All them white people look the same.
Terrible. Speaking of not white people, another actor that plays in the movie that just absolutely kills it is Jamie Foxx.
He
plays this guy named Bats, who's like this just complete psycho person.
Batshit.
Yeah. And he definitely is a unsung star of the movie, I guess.
Yeah, I agree.
I guess we can't really talk about the movie or the soundtrack without the... referencing the fact that a lot of the songs have the word baby in it, to the point that they even kind of have a scene where he meets this girl whose name is like Deborah or something, and they're kind of joking and talking, and she's like, you know, I don't have any songs named after me, and when he tells her that his name is Baby, she's like, well, every song is named after you because every song has the word baby in it.
It's funny that they called that out specifically in the movie, because obviously that's true. I guess that must have been intentional. Like, when they were coming up with the idea, I don't know if they came up with the name Baby first, and then were like, oh, I guess that makes sense because of the music, or...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
As they were trying to come up with music, it's like, oh, like, maybe we should call him Baby, because every song is about a baby. Not a literal baby, but...
I'm sure there was some creative choice in calling him that. I mean, it's a goofy name, so it adds a lot of mystery to his character, but at the same time...
Well, yeah, I'm sure it was intentional, like, to call him that, but I just don't know if, like, what came first, the baby or the music.
The baby or the egg.
You know what I'm saying?
I get exactly what you're saying. That's a good point. I don't know, but whatever came first, it was fun and interesting that they constantly kept playing songs that had baby in the title or lyrics. The first one that I think that where they actually kind of mention it is B A B Y Baby by Carla Thomas.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just, it's, I think it's a kind of introduction to him, and I think it's at the point in the movie where he comes, where he's at the diner and he sees her, and or, I don't know if he sees her or if he sees another girl, but they're like singing that song and, or like humming it.
At first I thought it was another girl, but I think it is Deborah,
okay,
who's singing that, because I think they reference it again later.
Okay. So yeah, it's the first time that he meets the love interest in the film, I guess, and she's singing a song called Baby, which, unbeknownst to her, is his name. So I guess we can play a little clip of that as well, since it's kind of a funky soul song.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
Baby, oh baby, I love to call you baby. Baby, oh baby, I love for you to call me baby.
So that was B-A-B-Y by Carla Thomas. Were there any songs that particularly stuck out to you, Peter?
Well, especially since it's been a while since I saw it, I don't know if there's anything particular I was like, oh yeah, that one scene where they played that one song was like the one thing. But I think the selection that they have in this movie is pretty terrific.
Yeah.
And even though I know we said that like it's the era is all generally the same, and the genres aren't all necessarily the same, but they all flow together really well.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow. So kudos to them.
Yeah, seriously.
I'm curating a playlist that works well for a soundtrack like that.
Yeah, a fun facts that I'm kind of popping up here as we're talking, that kind of go along with the movie. Apparently this movie was first conceived by Edgar Wright in 1994.
Before
the original iPod even came out. That's insane. So it sounds like it's kind of a passion project of his. It says he actually adapted the film's original beginning, the opening, from a 2003 music video that he directed for Mint Royal's Blue Song. I don't know what that is. But it's this in the song, it's about a group of getaway bank robbers driving away from a robbery. So it kind of fits into the theme of the movie.
I see. That's interesting. So I actually would be interested to go back and watch that music video.
Yeah. I mean, that is kind of an interesting idea for a music video. You know, the getaway driver's listening to the music of the music video while he's getting away,
right,
or whatever. That's cool.
Yeah. So this is basically a movie of that music video.
Kinda.
I mean, roughly.
Or probably him thinking like, "Damn, what if we made a whole movie like this music video?" Kind of thing.
So when did that music video come out? Was that before or after he had already come up with the idea?
2003. So, I mean, if
he originally conceived, so he already had that idea for a
while.
Yeah,
and he probably was using this music video direction that he did to kind of flesh some of that idea out.
I kind of like ideas like that where you can tell it was more of a unique or like passion project, because usually, I think with an idea that's more like, okay, we're going to make this to make a bitch load of money,
mm-hmm,
it's like, okay, here's Transformers 6. Whereas with something like this, it's kind of a niche. I won't even say it's a niche thing. It's just kind of a quirky little side project almost, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And I like stuff like that where it's like, oh yeah, I had this idea, you know, 25 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
And I finally got to make it. I think that's kind of cool.
Exactly. No, it's cool when, you know, directors or creative people have those kind of ideas rattling in the back of their head for a long time, and they're finally given the opportunity to do it. I mean,
I'm just go ahead.
If it wasn't for the fact that he had a string of very successful movies, it would be hard for like an indie director to be like, "Hey, I'm going to make a movie where the entire movie is just one big soundtrack." People would be like, "What?" So,
well, from a conceptual standpoint, yeah, that's a little bit different. But also just from a financial standpoint, not anybody can make this movie. You definitely need to have the budget to pay for that too.
Truth. I am reading here that the production budget was $34 million, and worldwide it grossed $130 million. So it crushed its budget.
Oh, hell yeah.
So yeah, no, it definitely, I was kind of, when I first heard about it, I was kind of afraid it wasn't going to do well because it's not, you know, giant action superhero movie, and it seems like anything that's not that or an animated movie nowadays doesn't do well.
Right. It's fairly action-y, though. I mean, yeah. I would consider it an action movie.
Yeah.
Just in its own... It's got its own little kick to it.
It's definitely refreshing to see kind of a car-centric action movie that's not this Fast and Furious series that's a little bit more grounded, you know? I mean, it didn't... Mm-hmm. It's not a movie that focused too much on the cars, although he did drive a lot of cool cars in the film, but it was, mm-hmm. at its core, you know, one of those kind of 70s-style, you know, getaway movies, like, from the cops and stuff. So, I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's a good point.
More fun facts.
Were there any other songs you wanted to point out here? I noticed that there's a Simon and Garfunkel song called Baby Driver. I didn't realize...
Oh, yeah, they played... I think they played that in the credits. I think they played that, or near the credits.
Oh, maybe they did, yeah. We could play a bit of that. That's a good song.
Yeah, let's do that really quick. So, Baby Driver by Simon and Garfunkel. Another song I did want to point out really quick, we don't necessarily have to play it because I guarantee we've played it a million times on our podcast, but the scene and the diner where he comes back to get her and John Hamm is there, and he's listening to Barry White's Never Gonna Give You Up.
Oh, yeah.
And there was, like, that whole super tense scene set to that song. I thought that was absolutely hilarious.
That was interesting, yeah.
One song I did want to point out that I thought was just absolutely brilliant was towards the middle of the movie where he thinks he's out of the game because he's paid back his debt to Kevin Spacey, and then Kevin Spacey's like, you know, you're not out, you're just able to, you know, make a profit now. And so he forces him into that new job, and as he's heading towards the job, they're playing the song Nowhere to Run to, Baby, by... Totally spacing now. I lost it.
Spacey.
By Kevin Spacey, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, by Martha and the Vandellas. I thought that was...
Yeah.
Like, it's brilliant because it's, you know, the lyrics of the song are telling the story, in essence. Because he can't get away from his criminal past, I guess.
So I realized, because in this playlist, near the end, they have the remix song that he made in the movie called Was He Slow? Oh. Apparently that was done by Kid Koala.
Yeah. I noticed that too.
That's pretty cool. And you've mentioned Kid Koala to me before.
I have. He's kind of a, how do I say it? He's like a EDM DJ, but he mixes in a lot of blues stuff into his music, which I always thought was really cool. So he's kind of different in that way. That's a really good song. We could play that if you want, because it kind of fits.
I think
it's actually music made for the movie.
Right. Kind of an interesting and slightly humorous remix that the character Baby makes in the movie, but I didn't realize that they actually had Kid Koala make that for them.
No, good kid. Devil behind the wheel. Was he slow? Retarded means slow. Was he slow? No.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that song. That was an extra fun little tidbit in the movie.
Fun little shits.
Is any other radio? Any other music that particularly stands out to you?
No, but that's not because I didn't care. These aren't good choices. It's just. Like I said earlier, there wasn't any one scene where, like, holy shit, that song and that scene was the perfect combination, that I can remember, at least. Mm-hmm. And I have fairly bad memory, so... I think if you haven't seen this movie, it's definitely worth checking out. Even if you're not, you know, like, a music fanatic, I think it's still a really fun movie.
Yeah.
And it's for being an action movie, it's still fairly unique in a way that I really enjoyed. And yeah. I'm pretty picky with the movies that I see, so... I would say it's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, and if any of you guys are fans of Edgar Wright or his other films, I know Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead has like a cult following. I guarantee you guys will like this movie too. Unfortunately, it doesn't have Simon Pegg, but it has a lot of good acting. So.
Dude, that would have been great. Mm-hmm. Well, even just as a cameo, maybe he would have just detracted too much from the...
Yeah, speaking of that, one thing we didn't really mention, the movie is set in like Atlanta in the South, which I also thought was kind of interesting.
You don't have a lot of movies set there.
Exactly. I mean, he kind of has a bit of a Southern accent when he's doing his thing.
Yeah.
And it's fairly obvious that it's Atlanta when he's like walking around and stuff. But yeah, I thought that was really cool that it's a car movie not set in, you know, L.A., Chicago, or New York. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciated that.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I guess.
Or just a movie in general that isn't set in one of those places.
Touche, exactly. Or all three, because movies have to have multiple locations now to be actiony enough. We're going to go to Dubai, and then we're going to go to Zurich, and then we're going to go to... It's like all your movie budget is just on travel.
Skimping on the crafty table.
Exactly. Pfft. Just put out Lunchables.
Okay, that'd actually be pretty amazing.
That would actually... I would totally do that if I was like a craftsperson. I would just put out like a huge-ass variety of Lunchables, and people would just lose their shit.
Lunchables, Otter Pops.
Yeah, all the awesome shit we Ring junk food we ate as a kid. Did you ever have those drinks as a kid where it was like, you know, those generic like kids juices where there's just three flavors, blue, orange, and red, and they came in like a plastic, it looked like a barrel, like a Donkey Kong barrel, and the top was like a metal,
like the grenade looking ones. Oh yeah, they were like in little barrels,
and there was
like a little
metal tin thing on the top you just punch the straw through. Yeah. Dude, I loved that shit, and I think they stopped making them because I can't find them anywhere. That shit was the best. It was.
What do you even like? It tasted, how do you even like, figure out what those were called?
I don't know. They seriously tasted like just like when, you know, when Otter Pops melt and you drink the juice. It was basically just the juice. Which I would always just squish up my Otter Pop until it became pure juice, anyways, and just drink it.
That's true.
Tell us, listeners, do you eat your Otter Pops like a normal human being, or do you liquefy them? Tell us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/getyourfunk.
And if you don't feel like telling us that, you can simply follow us on SoundCloud if you feel like it. If you don't feel like it, then don't. Whatever. It's your own choice. At soundcloud.com/getyourfunk, you can say things to us there. I guess, yeah, no. So, yeah, you can tell us about the Otter Pops thing on SoundCloud if you're listening there. If you're listening on Google Play, you can't tell us anything, but you can follow us there. And there's no fun URL for you there, so figure it out.
Yourselves, yeah. So yeah, this has been our review of Baby Driver. I give it 2 babies up.
Okay. I don't really know how to respond to that.
So yeah, this has been your host, Kyle.
And this has been your host, Peter. Thanks for listening to Funk Radio, if you did listen. If you didn't, then you're just like everybody else. Bye.
Bye.